to come into this place with your word. Lord God, help us to understand that we are to live by faith. Help your words leap out of the page. Help them not just be black and white, but Lord God, full of color. In your son's name we pray. Amen. I trust that some of you had a good 4th of July, and everyone returned safely, and you start to wonder, you know, is everything okay in the world just because one more 4th of July is somewhat peaceful. And so you begin to wonder, and then what makes a good holiday? And so one of them, if you really know me, is that dessert. Dessert makes a really good holiday because growing up, you remember certain things about going to certain places, and you remember that grandma had the best pie. We only bake pies in Minnesota. Okay, so at my house, we do this. All right, you'll know a good dessert if it has chocolate in it. And so I have a strange fascination with chocolate chip cookies. Okay, and so one of the great things is that you will probably see me only eating two desserts mainly, and most of them have chocolate in them. And so I'm a chocolate-holic, I believe is what they call it. And so I'm beginning to wonder, how many of you make a really good chocolate chip cookie? Okay, will you notice everybody's hand up in here? They need to prove that, all right? Just want to make sure. Okay, and so looking at things, I'm really wondering what makes a really good chocolate chip cookie? Because most of the time, what you will see is you will see that most of the chocolate chip recipes come from a bag. That's not the way grandma used to make them. And so you remember her kneading out the dough. You remember her taking the time. And most of your recollection was her spending her time preparing things for you. And so today I brought a couple things from home. And I'm rather curious. Here I have flour. Is flour an ingredient? Okay. I also have pure baking soda. You do use that. All right. And then I also have, for my needs, 4 pounds of sugar. Do you also put that in the, or is that not something you put in the regular batch? Yes. Okay, I just want to make sure. It's been a long time. And so the question I have, this is going to sound strangely ill, is how many of you wouldn't mind tasting this baking soda for me? Are you sure? And so, do you just want to put some on their hands and just, do you think she should do it?
Sure.
Why not? Please don't drink any, like, 7-Up anytime soon. It's not going to be good. Okay? Now, what's it taste like? Yeah? Yeah, if you have a canker sore, you put this on it and it goes away within a couple of days. All right? So, was that great? She's like, yeah. You gonna volunteer again? No. All right, not gonna volunteer again. I understand that. All right, who's ready to taste? And for some of you, I have gluten-free flour. So there's no excuses. How many of you guys want to taste the flour? Do you see the hand not go up? You want to taste the flour? Why are all my volunteers of a certain age? You really want to taste the flour? She's like, I'll taste anything once. All right. Hold out your hand. All right, flour. All right, flour is supposedly essential for... tastes like anything. Okay, just want to make sure. I didn't know what flour tasted like. Does it taste like chicken? Yes, no, okay, all right. Now, what else do you put? I mean, does anyone have to taste sugar to know what it tastes like? It tastes like anything. All right, what about, anyone wanna try the special dark chocolate chips? So the flour or the baking soda wasn't good enough, but now I bust out the chocolate chips and now everybody wants a piece. All right, especially how many of you guys prefer the bittersweet chocolate chip? One, yes, to go along with your flour. You know what? I'll let you have a couple pieces. That flour has got to be waning on you. Just don't drink any coffee, please. Not yet. But here's what I kind of wanted to get at is most of you, besides a pocket or two, most of you guys, when you looked at the ingredients, most of you guys didn't want to take a huge bite into the baking soda. It's not good. And so some of you guys didn't want to try the flour for some reason. All right, and then for some of you, you only wanted this part of what goes into the ingredients. Some of you will only want the ready-made break and bake. And some of you, I won't name names because I already know who you are in the back. Some of you guys will eat this raw. If I had a mirror, I'd be looking at it because one of my favorite pastimes is raw cookie dough. And I've heard it's not good for you. I've heard it has all kinds of prone disease because of the uncooked raw eggs. Do you think that stops me from trying it? No. All right? And so I do it. And some of you guys think, well, you know, I can't pass on this. I'll have to eat, you know, maybe three or four cookies will come out of the sheet. The rest of the dough will disappear. But what about this? There's your final product. There's your final product. And so when you look at the bag and look at the final product, we've gone from here where you don't want it to here where you think you might want it to going through a little fire and you get this, the final product. And so this morning, I thought we'd go over a little bit of the gospel reading, if you would, Finder. Gospel reading on the back of your worship bulletin. And so I just want to go over some of these last things. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, okay, and I will give you rest. And so it's interesting. This whole thing is interesting. So let's read this together. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so taking a look at this, I begin to wonder, what does this really mean? And I remember being in Texas and going to a conference there and hearing from guys talk about the significance of what Jesus was actually talking about. When you look at this, how many of you guys who are farmers would recommend yoking up a cow and a donkey together? Do they go together? Why not?
Not the same size.
That's one thing. Anything else about the donkey you want to tell me about? Wow, Lutherans are really quick on that one. Is there a correlation? The donkey isn't made for this. The cow is. And so when you take a look at that, what Jesus is trying to say is here's your picture of being yoked. In some cultures, they will actually take a younger cow and put it with a more experienced cow, somewhat like you see in this picture, where the man is going through a field and getting it ready to plant crops. And so we believe what Jesus is trying to say is that in the same mode where you put an experienced cow with an inexperienced cow, this is what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to say is that in the same yoke, I'm going to be there with you. So the experienced one is Jesus. The inexperienced one is us. And so that's why Jesus, in this verse, if you noticed, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. And learn from me. And so this is what he was probably trying to get at is when you take upon your yoke with me there, you learn from me as you go. Now, the problem is, looking back to the first picture where you have the donkey, that could be a picture of us today. Some of you guys, and you know who you are very stubborn, right? I could be looking in the mirror right now. I'm very stubborn. I know that. It doesn't help me at all right? But at the same time, I don't always like being yoked with Jesus. Because being yoked with Jesus means that he is always beside me. What does that mean? It means in my sinful nature, I don't want Jesus always around me. I don't always want to be this nice and cuddly person that you see on Sunday morning. I have days in which I don't want anybody around me, and you just might want to just get back. There is a danger zone, all right? Because that's my sinful nature. That's me trying to get through what I'm trying to get through. And so Jesus says, you put that on yourself. You put that on yourself. You work too much. Sometimes you go through life and you don't know how to deal with some of the burdens. You put on yourself, according to what Jesus is saying in here. And you don't know how to deal with it. You are heavily burdened. And that's what we put on ourselves in this life. And so just like the ingredients that went to this cookie, we want to say, well, God, I don't want to wait for the ingredients to go in. And I kind of want to, Jesus, I want to open them now. God, thanks for 10 years of going with me. Now I'm ready to go out on my own. And you're raw. And you're not ready. And Jesus says, you still need to stay near. Because no matter how ready you think you are, you're not the finished product. You're not the finished product. And so we, and especially our culture and our world, looks at the yoke of Jesus, looks at what it really means to be a Christian, really means to be a follower of Christ, and says, if that's a follower of Christ, that's not what I want. Those laws, I've heard a lot about, well, if you're a Christian, you have to give up a lot of stuff in your life. You mean like pain and sorrow, stuff that comes from a broken heart, broken relationships, that. So you begin to wonder, what are you really giving up to follow Christ? To be yoked with him? In Matthew, he also says a little bit more. And in Hebrews it says, how much more with the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purifying our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Through his yoke of his blood, through what he has done for us, through learning from him about what it really means to die to ourselves, we get this picture of what it means to be Christ, to put on Christ, is that we've learned from him by going side by side through his word and getting past our stubbornness in order to look and say, okay, this is what God has for me, and God has for me on this road. He wants me to avoid all this pain, all this suffering over here. The road will get bumpy. The road will go on and wind through life. But that's why with Jesus by our side, yoked with him, that's why he steers us to a better path. That's why he gave us the law. And he also gives us the gospel that he is the one who offered himself. Do you notice in our gospel lesson how many times he offers something from himself? I will give you rest. I am gentle. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Following Christ means you keep what's important in front of you. Yoke with Christ, with his cross, is that really a burden at all? No. But the rest of the world doesn't understand that. And so Jesus says, show the world what it means to be a Christ follower. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that, Lord God, you would go with us no matter what. Lord God, sometimes we get so stubborn in this life, and we think that following you means we have to follow all these rules and regulations to man's standards. Lord God, help us understand that you would have us love you so much that nothing else in the world really matters. Lord God, we need rest. Lord God, sometimes we're going through life in which we need to clear things from our mind, but Lord God, that's difficult. So help us and be patient with us. As Lord God, we're trying to figure out what it really means to be yoked with you and learn from you. Because learning from you is a lifelong process. And there's no one in this room that is ready for that. There are a lot of people in this room that are resisting that, including me. Lord God, help us see that being yoked with you means that you're pulling the weight. We can release a lot of our burdens on you and see that you will carry us through. In your son's name we pray. Amen.